Well, Ming Laba, Tuyara Wantabare. That's all the Burmese I know. Not very much yet. It's a difficult language. And also, I had mentioned to Dr. Force I was going to come in a tuxedo versus my Myanmar shirt, but he nixed that idea. And then, secondly, the other note is he actually gave me 4 hours to speak. No, not really. So it's great to be back with you folks again. Hi, Butch. Hi, Kathy. How are you guys? Going to miss the shindig. We'll be heading over to Burma on the 24th of January. So that's been a great, fun time. So much warmer than Colorado. It has been cold there. A lot of global cooling going on. So that's the only reason I'm headed back to Burma, is to get warm. So anyway, thanks for having me today. And I'll just share with you some updates and a few items that have been occurring with the mission and the ministry. And really, as in all of our Christian lives, the mission path has all of these quirky twists and turns, and it can be very funky, to say the least. And I have a scripture in here, which is, I think, in a lot of our Christian lives, which God wants. Oswald Chambers talks about this. This is Hebrews 11:8, the second part of it. It simply states that, let's see, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. And so the missionary trip that I've been taking so far was originally with a much larger organization, very well-oiled and respectable. And I just love the people at OMF International. They're fantastic. And God has transferred me over to a smaller entity that is actually right in the heart of Burma, in the capital city of Yangon. And so that's where he said, okay, this is what you're going to be doing. But first I wanted to take a trip and kind of dip my toe into the water to see what was happening. And so instead of going to Thailand, where OMF, most of the humanitarian and spiritual organizations have pulled out of Burma. There are none left in the capital city there. They think it's too dangerous. It really isn't. And New Hope has been one of those entities that has remained steadfast. And they're right in the middle of it all. And it's an amazing little story that I can tell you. And basically, they invited me to come to Burma about a month ago. And so what did I do, being a missionary? I jumped on a plane and flew to Singapore. You know, it's kind of like flying to Jacksonville or something like that. Not really. And so I jumped on a plane, 14-hour trip from San Francisco, excuse me, direct to Singapore. And who's been to Singapore here? It is an amazing city, and the rooms are so incredibly small that all you have is just a queen-size bed in there. And to try to get around to the bathroom, you have to tiptoe your way because there's no space in the room. And by the way, Dr. Force, thank you for allowing me to be the inaugural person, inaugural guest in his 4-star hotel. The accommodations were spacious. They were beautiful. It was quiet. And Singapore is very noisy until about 2 a.m. in the morning. And so it was a joy to stay in there. And I heard the train twice. I did hear that. But other than that, it was fantastic. So from Singapore, I boarded a plane. And with some trepidation there, because of the Burmese military and the coup and the brutality that they are well known for, landed in the city of Yangon, not knowing what would happen. It's kind of similar with all of our lives. Have you ever had that? You just don't know where the Lord is taking you. And so went through customs and picking up my bag, and they did a COVID test and passed the soldiers with AR-15s looking at you. And I'm just like, hello, I'm a tourist. And they don't know if they really believe that. And it went smooth as butter. It was a piece of cake to get through to the ministry people who were there to pick me up. It was just simply it was an easy and something that I think really helped me understand that God is with us wherever we go, even into the midst of the jaws of the enemy, for that matter. And so the very first site that Adoniram Judson, I'm a descendant of his fifth generation, I can feel that coursing in my veins. It's like a fire shut up in my bones. Is he saw, he gazed upon what's called the Shwedagon Pagoda. And it's probably several hundred feet high, and it remains to this day. And that's the first thing I saw as well. I opened my windows in the hotel, and there it was. It just gleams, and it's pretty flat in kind of like Florida. I'm from Colorado, mountains and hills and stuff. It's so flat here. It's amazing. Oh, you guys have wonderful beaches. I was on one the other day, as a matter of fact. And so I saw that, and it was really a reconfirmation in my heart that this is where God wants me to be, in the land of Burma. So we wasted no time, and we jumped onto a boat crossing this very large river, again, not exactly knowing where we were going. And so we landed and in the slum area. Yangon is a very eclectic city. There's one part that's extremely rich, and people are driving Mercedes and Beamers, and mostly the military generals. And then as soon as you cross over the river is where you find the slums. Over a million people living in these areas. And so I didn't know what to expect. One of the first people I saw was this lady here, and she gave me a peace sign, and she was smiling. And Burma, in general, and I'll switch back between Burma and Myanmar, depending on where you are in the country, is known as the land of smiles. They are a happy people. In this country, I'm not so sure, especially being from Colorado. Well, they're happy for other reasons, but I won't get into that. And don't let that ever happen here in Florida. So really, in the slums, it's quite dangerous. It is, what shall we say, run by gangsters and criminals and corruption with the police and pimps and loan sharks, and children are kidnapped right off the streets in these slum areas. And so that's where the ministry of New Hope is located, directed into the slums. They have 13 centers. They have to call them centers instead of churches. But they have to operate underneath the radar of the Burmese military so they don't get kicked out of the country. And so before we started our small business strategy meeting in Burmese, we did it the best way first. And these ladies know how to pray. We were in intentional, very deep prayer. It's unbelievable when you actually walk in and experience this. Again, it's hard to kind of picture that here, but if you can see that lady there, that was very typical of how they just prayed deeply and intentionally. And lots of good business ideas flowed out of this meeting, hopefully like the meeting that you're going to have tonight. So that was the very first thing we did, jumping off the plane. And then we walked into what I affectionately call containers of worship. And mind you, this is on a Thursday where these people are simply worshiping the Lord, learning about God's Word, being taught by the leaders that are brought up in the church. And as you can see, there's no room for chairs. The entire area was packed out with people, and they're just sitting on the ground. They take off their sandals, and that's going to take some getting used to. You flip off your shoes, and you know everybody walks around in bare feet in the worship areas. So after that, we also saw another really great thing that the ministry does for the local teenage women. A lot of these young ladies here were actually kidnapped, captured, sold into sexual slavery, and then they were delivered by the ministry, and now they live in a safe house where they can raise their children. I mean, where have you heard about that? Yes, maybe in India, but never in this country. Possibly. Actually, you know what? In Colorado, I think there is. But this is something that is such a blessing to the girls, to be delivered out of slavery. And if you'll notice, the kids there are just as cute as a little bug in a rug. And I'll talk about what they have on their faces in just a minute. These are a few of the staff members. So the way that New Hope is structured is there are probably 85% of the 40-person staff are indigenous Burmese. And there are only five of us who are foreigners. There's the founder who's Danish and his wife is English. And then we have these two English guys who are from Northern Britain. And I understand that Dr. Force spent quite a bit of time growing up there, and I had to almost call him as an interpreter because I couldn't figure out what they were saying. I just looked at him and said, "Will you please speak American to me?" I didn't like that so much. And the food in Myanmar is delicious. You can taste each and every spice. I wish we could bring some to the shindig. That would be a wonderful experience for you guys. But the staff, they were so accommodating. In fact, all the people in Burma, very accommodating. The hospitality was just over the top. On the next day, we had the blessing and the honor to visit the General Secretary of the Myanmar Baptist Convention, over 5,000 churches in all of Myanmar. And so he accommodated us, and they really know a lot about Adoniram Judson. The painting there, that was up on one of their walls of the Judsons arriving on the golden, first arriving on the golden shores of Burma, gazing once again at that Shwedagon pagoda. And I tell you, I was just imagining in my mind, because in the slums, a revival. When you were talking about revival, how did you know? I mean, your worship was choreographed to what I'm saying, because people are repenting right now, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And I mean, they are coming in droves. Over 1,500 folks in the ministry alone over the last several months have come to the Lord. There's about 100 baptisms every single month. It's incredible what's going on over there. So if that were to catch fire in the 5,000 churches, this revival, the whole land of Myanmar, despite the military, could be changed. And there again is the Golden Pagoda. And what I was told is that the military, in the middle of the night, came to the pagoda. They scraped off all the gold. It had 14 karat gold all over it in order to buy more arms from Russia. And then they just painted the pagoda gold once again. So kind of strange. But it really makes me think about what Matthew 24:14 says, that, "And this gospel will be preached into the whole world as a testimony to the nations, and then the end will come." And that's all across the world. As I learn more about missions, there are all of these different missionary efforts happening in India, Pakistan, Afghanistan, Iraq, China, Mongolia, all over the place. I didn't realize that, Dr. Force. It's just incredible what's happening. And so also their library at the Myanmar Baptist Convention was full of Adoniram Judson books. They know 10 times more about him than I do. And so that was just incredible. And also had the honor of meeting an evangelist in the great state of Karen in Burma. And he is going all over the towns and villages still proclaiming the good news of the gospel. And what was encouraging to me, he's 71 years old. And so when I sold my company, a wise person said to me, "Don't go into retirement, go into," and I think I said this last time, "refirement." You know, why pick up seashells on the beach? And I was just doing that the other day. But amazing, this guy, I'm 10 years younger than him, and it was so encouraging to see a gentleman out there evangelizing at the age of 71. Also had the opportunity to bring a message to the first church founded by Adoniram Judson over 200 years ago. And they gave me this great big Bible, a 20-pound Bible, literally. It was huge. And it was one of the first printed Bibles of Adoniram Judson, translated, that he translated from Hebrew and Greek directly into Burmese. He was a lot smarter guy than I am. That's for sure. And this gentleman in the lower right-hand corner is the head of the director of the Myanmar Bible Society. And the front that they have is selling books and newspapers and publications. But behind the scenes, and you can relate to this, they're smuggling in thousands of Bibles every single month. And those Bibles are going all throughout Myanmar right now. 55 million people are able to start to read the Word of God that was translated so many years ago by Adoniram Judson. So what did we do? We jumped back on a boat on a Monday. This was on a Sunday that we did the preaching. And again, landed in the area of the slums, which are really run by corruption and wanton lawlessness. It's incredible to see. And so, again, looking at this situation, What were we going to find? This is what we found. The people that are being saved are gangsters. And I'm actually glad they're on our side in the slums area. They keep us safe from all the other gangsters out there. Prostitutes, criminals, murderers. I met a few murderers. And just normal people. But all these people have given their lives in repentance to Jesus. And who did Jesus come for? Did he come for the healthy or for the sick? And it is amazing to see what is occurring, the worship in these areas. And again, they worship 5 days a week, at least 2 hours a day. I don't know in America, is there a church like that that we know of? Anywhere in the country that does that type of worship. Yes, a lot of the people don't work, but just the same, they make time, they find the time to come and sit together and worship the Lord and learn about His Word, and they're being discipled so that they can make other disciples in what they call an indigenous people movement. So again, just to sit amongst these folks who have nothing. They have nothing. We have everything, but they have nothing, and yet they have everything. If that's kind of a riddle. Because if you think about it, most of us have a mortgage. We have a car. Potentially staying out of debt is a great thing to do. We have car leases. We have to worry about living paycheck to paycheck, going to McDonald's, you know, for a lunch, something. None of that exists in the slum areas of Yangon. Yet a mini revival is just going crazy. And all the kids. The kids are great. I'm in kids ministry back in Colorado at a mega church, and these kids are wild. They're going all over the place. They're climbing the walls. They're doing the zip line while we're trying to teach them. And there's nothing we can do. You cannot touch. You can't give a little spank or anything. Maybe just a tap on the shoulder. Hey, would you please come back into line? And whereas these guys here, very prayerful, very mindful, kind of like Dr. Force's kids. I love his kids, by the way. They're really great, seriously. And so one thing that was really amazing, they were drawing pictures on a little tablet. They were drawing pictures of heaven, of the cross, of scenes of Paul and all kinds of things. And guess what? They haven't read the Bible yet. How do they do that? That seems to me, what they use the term over there, is a direct download of the Holy Spirit. Because they have not yet started to read the Bible. And they are so content. And as you'll see, this one youngster on the left-hand side, most of the Burmese people paint their faces. And so the reason is for sunscreen. It's very hot. It's warmer than Florida, for sure, because it's hot most of the year. And so they are also artists. It's tradition. And they'll decorate, and they'll put on flower decorations and palm trees and all kinds of neat things on their faces. So I figured I would give it a try, and I put the paint on my face and thinking, this is the fountain of youth. And it just made me shrink more and have more wrinkles. I'm like, I'm not going to do that again. But it's amazing, the people, everybody there, from kids on up to about teenagers, have this face paint on. It's really a cool thing. And I just love the kids. The ministry has actually asked me to come and be involved in the kids ministry there. And so along with the food program that they have, the poverty is unbelievable. I've been to very poor places like Haiti, like Morocco, Russia, Mexico, and this takes the cake. Most, in fact, of these people haven't eaten for 2 days, and they are out looking for anything they can eat. On the streets, the women will cut their hair very short and sell it for $2 or $3 just so they can eat. It is unbelievable. And so the ministry is handing out 5,000 meals a day to people. And it's expanding with your help, your prayers, your support, and the amazing group of partners that God has already provided for the ministry. It's expanding. And so I participated in some of the soup distribution, and the line was as far as the eye could see. And people were coming up just with bags, with cups, with pans, with pots that were dirty, anything they could grab to put some soup in to last for 2 days. And to receive a 2-pound bag of rice for a family, it's gone in 2 days, but that's what they get. And they go out and they pick spices out in the fields to go ahead and accommodate and to give the rice some taste. That food program is one of the major things that can help people, obviously, figure out how to not starve. And another thing is a program called microfinance. And I'm was a small business owner, kind of in the leasing business. And so this really fits into my category. They want me to help out. The programs are so burgeoning and overflowing that they need people to help out with these things. And so what happens is they'll make a business loan of $10, not a very big one, and the ladies in particular, and I haven't figured out why not as many men will come out and do that, they will actually go into the slums and sell their goods, sell rice and asparagus and papaya, those types of things, and then sell that and pay the loan back slowly but surely. And then once they have paid it off and they're out of debt, then they can provide that money back into a pool for other people to have and to continue the loans. And look at how happy the people are doing that. I wish more small businesses would arise in this country. That's really what we need. And then one last thing, the living conditions there. It's just heartbreaking. It's dangerous, as you can see in the left-hand side. They always have to keep an eye out for criminals, gangsters, people beating them up, whatever. Usually it's a two-room home, and they put whatever they can. This is beautiful. I just love your place. And they use tin, they use canvas, they use plastic, they use palm branches, anything to keep the elements out. In the first room, typically there's one chair, and you see the lady sitting on the threshold there. And then the next room of the home is the living room / bedroom, etc. They don't have any sofas or beds, anything like that. No running water, no electricity. So they have to get their pails of water from a pump in the middle of the city and then bring it back for showering, for washing, for whatever purposes. It's so hard. That's their bathroom. That's it. And there are big pools of water underneath their homes that are built on stilts, and so it's just a sludge pool underneath, filled with trash and with sewage. And that's where they live and how they live. So my heart is in the middle of this. I want to help in any way possible. So the Lord has allowed me to create yet another entity called Judson Ministries International. The website is judsonministries.org. Feel free to visit, jump on, and take a look at the things that are happening there. You'll see videos of the main city, and you will also learn more about the history of Adoniram Judson and how we are connected generationally. And so there's different areas of focus. You can subscribe to the newsletter. You can become a prayer warrior. We need that desperately. And you can donate if you feel so led as well. And so there are prayer requests also that this revival would just move throughout the land of Myanmar and that God would come in and intervene and bring in his dominion instead of the Burmese military's dominion throughout the land so that all Myanmar will be saved. That's the goal. That's the vision, is to collaborate with the other ministries that are still left in Myanmar to be able to work together to spread the gospel. Like Habakkuk in 2:14, it says, "For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord." And I put in Myanmar will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. There's revival happening there, such that I've not ever seen before. Buddhists are coming. It's 80% Buddhist. There's so many Buddhist people rejecting Buddhism and coming to Christianity. It's amazing. So that's really an update for all of you. I thank you for your time. And Jezuba Timbare. And also, let's see if I can get this right. Peya Gaunji Babasi, which means God bless you and thank you very much.